show on this last day of February 2022. My name is Carl Azus. We're thankful you're spending 10 minutes with us this Monday. It has been 4 days since Russian military forces invaded the neighboring country of Ukraine, and U.S. officials say Russia's progress has been slower than the nation's government thought it would be. Tough resistance from Ukrainian forces, heavier than expected losses on the Russian side, and the size of Ukraine, which is about as big as Texas, these have all been cited as challenges to Russian plans to quickly take control of the neighboring country. When he announced what he called a special military operation in Ukraine last week, Russian President Vladimir Putin said his country needed to act to prevent Western influence from spreading near Russia's western border. But his decision to invade Ukraine has been fiercely criticized by numerous countries around the world. The two sides directly fighting in this war are Russian troops and the military of the Ukrainian government. But Ukraine is getting weapons, equipment, and various forms of support from the U.S. and several other nations. And some of those countries have also sanctioned Russia. They've put limits on international business with that country in an effort to hurt its economy. Critics of that strategy say sanctions alone are not enough to stop Russia, that they take too long, and that the ones that have been announced weren't put in place soon enough to deter the Russian invasion. Inside Russia itself, there have been protests against that invasion, with hundreds and possibly thousands of people getting arrested for participating. Russians who sympathize with Ukraine have placed flowers outside the Ukrainian embassy in Moscow. On Sunday, there were concerns that Russian President Putin was authorizing more destructive weapons in an effort to inflict more damage on Ukraine and end the conflict faster. Russia has said it is not targeting civilian areas, but some of them have been damaged.
A man stands on his balcony, looking out at a new reality just hours after a missile slammed into his apartment building. It was 8 a.m. when the projectile hit, destroying parts of the 22nd and 23rd floors. According to Ukrainian authorities, two people were killed. Officials here say it was a Russian strike. Russia's Ministry of Defense claim it was a Ukrainian anti-aircraft missile that went awry. Whoever was responsible, this is what happens when war comes to a major city. Homes and lives are destroyed. At the city's central train station, a frantic dash as people try to escape to the west of the country. Step back, the train conductor says. Step back. She tells the crowd to leave their bags to make room for more people.
So she's just said that women and children can get on the train now. You can see people pushing to get on. They've got their pets, they've got their babies, and they're trying to get on this train to get out of here.
Ukraine's railway services say they are evacuating 5,000 people a day. Every single space is precious. We will stand, this woman pleads. It's full, the conductor tells her. Inside the carriage, it's standing room only. A woman waves goodbye to her family. Who knows when she will be able to return. Her daughter, Tamara, has made the tough decision to stay behind.
For many people, it'll be hard to understand how brave you are to stay here and not to try to leave and get somewhere safe.
It's not a brave. You should just understand. It's my city. It's my hometown. It's my homeland. It's my country. And I'm not the one who should leave. The Russians are the one who should leave. And they would leave. I wouldn't leave this city before they are.
Do you think many people are like you and they're ready to do everything they can to get Russia out?
I'm not thinking. I know.
This is the sort of extraordinary resistance Russia is facing here. 100 miles northeast of Kyiv, a man tries to block a Russian tank. He kneels in front of it, determined to stop it in its tracks. And for a brief moment, he does, before the column pushes on towards the capital.
Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson has officially been nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court. President Joe Biden made the announcement on Friday. The 51-year-old nominee currently sits on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, and before that, Judge Jackson served as a federal district court judge. She's the first black woman ever to be nominated to the Supreme Court, but will she be confirmed as its newest associate justice? That's up to the U.S. Senate, whose job is to give advice and consent on presidential nominees. The Senate's currently divided between 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans, and some Republicans have said they're concerned about the support that Judge Jackson has received from, quote, radical liberal groups. However, three Republicans did join all Democrats in voting for Jackson's confirmation to her current job. That happened last June. If the Senate were to vote straight down party lines on her Supreme Court nomination, with all Republicans opposing Jackson and all Democrats supporting her, Vice President Kamala Harris, a Democrat, would cast the deciding vote to confirm Jackson. Senate Democrats hope to hold the vote in mid-April.
A historic selection shrouded in secrecy for the last several weeks. We are learning that President Biden met with three candidates on Valentine's Day, February 14th, for individual interviews at the White House that went under the radar of everyone at the time. But he finally offered the position on Thursday evening to Judge Jackson, and she was at the White House on Friday.
For too long, our government, our courts, haven't looked like America.
President Biden making history, nominating the first black woman to serve on the Supreme Court. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who accepted the president's offer during a call, now beginning the confirmation process to become a justice on the nation's highest court.
I am truly humbled by the extraordinary honor of this nomination.
If approved by the Senate, Jackson would succeed Justice Stephen Breyer, a mentor for whom she worked as a law clerk in 1999.
Justice Breyer, the members of the Senate will decide if I fill your seat, but please know that I could never fill your shoes.
Her liberal ideology would not change the balance of the court, yet her presence on the bench would mark a major milestone for the court and the country. The White House ceremony comes 2 years to the day since Biden first made the pledge to nominate a black woman on the court, as he sought to revive his candidacy before the South Carolina primary.
I'm looking forward to making sure there's a black woman on the Supreme Court to make sure I push very hard for that.
Jackson has been a federal judge for nearly a decade, elevated last year to the influential U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit.
Incredibly, Judge Jackson has already been confirmed by the United States Senate three times. She strives to be fair, to get it right, to do justice. That's something all of us should remember.
Born in Washington and raised in Miami, she spelled out her dreams early, saying in her high school yearbook she aimed to go into law and eventually have a judicial appointment. She did just that, graduating from Harvard, both undergraduate and law school, before serving as a federal public defender, rare experience for a Supreme Court justice.
10-second trivia. What is this space rock that passes through Earth's atmosphere and hits the ground? Meteor, meteoroid, meteorite, or metroid? If a meteoroid survives Earth's atmosphere and makes it to the surface, it's called a meteorite. In 2019, a meteorite struck a doghouse in Costa Rica. It just missed the dog. The animal was okay. But the Christie's auction company says it's incredibly rare for things built by people to get hit by meteorites. So the doghouse was put up for auction, and it fetched, get it, $44,000. The meteorite itself went for $21,000. We don't know how much of this will go to the dog, but hopefully he'll get a new house out of the deal. One that rocks, if you know what I'm saying. His old rin-tin-tin roof was rusted, so he'll probably want something to ease his anxiety. One with better protection for his fascia, something that offers more of a life rafter, and he'll probably opt out of a skylight. Then maybe he might not mind being in the doghouse. Roof puns. We nailed them. I'm Carl Azus. Want to say hello today to the American International School of Cairo. Thank you for watching from the Egyptian capital, and thanks to all of you for taking time for CNN.